This is an interview with Ambassador Mohammed El Farah in his home in Amman, Jordan, on March 13th, 1998. And I'm Jean Krasno. Okay, so I'm just going to put this closest to you so we can hear you very well. Okay, so for the record, Ambassador El Farah, would you please explain something about your background, where you were born and educated, and when you became involved in the United Nations?
Thank you very much. I'm glad to have you here. It's a pleasure to have you, really. About my background, I was born in Khan Yunis, in Gaza, what's called Gaza Strip today.
Oh, nice.
Where the Palestine Authority is stationed now.
Yeah.
After finishing my elementary school, I went to Jaffa. Jaffa Orange is famous at that time.
Okay.
I went to Jaffa. My brother was a merchant there.
Oh, okay.
And I stayed with him studying until I got a secondary, what do you call it, British, something equivalent to the British matriculation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this I sent to 3-4 universities in the United States.
Okay.
I wanted to finish my university education in one of the states.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I received an okay from St. Louis University in the city of Truman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The which state is it? Truman State?
I think Kansas. I'm not sure.
Anyway,
we'll
I received acceptance from there and from Boston University.
Okay.
And from a third one in the West.
And the last one was?
The third one in the West, I can't remember it. California, I think.
Oh, okay, in California.
California.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, Missouri, no.
Missouri. St. Louis, yeah.
<All right.
laughs> St. Louis, Missouri.
All right.
Yeah. At that time, this was in 1948. In 1947, I kept applying here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I got three, one from California, one from St. Louis, Missouri, one from Boston University, one from Suffolk. So
okay.
I, Boston University after Suffolk for magister.
Okay.
So I applied, then I had these three acceptances.
Okay.
Which should I have? I said St. Louis,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Missouri. Then after the part played by Truman,
mm-hmm.
I said no Missouri.
Oh,
cross
take Missouri out.
You know, young man, disappointed. Here's the right up for you in the or for your election. You're doing this and that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want your university.
So you didn't.
I chose Suffolk.
Suffolk, okay.
Suffolk University.
All right.
Dean Simpson, brilliant man.
Mm-hmm.
You book that think about the whole laws of Massachusetts and other states. It was very tough, but one day we had a subject called Bills and Notes. Only 1/4 of the class passed.
Mm-hmm.
And the students had the revolt. When 3/4 do not pass, it means the fault of the professor.
Of the professor.
The
right.
Students.
Yeah.
They just all go and demonstrate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a friend of mine called Salam Dejani. We passed that. We were one of the lucky, one-fourth. So we should ask, demonstrate against him, and we are foreigners and this and that. Mm-hmm. We said, sorry, put on to your internal differences.
Right.
Well, they demonstrated everything, and they called us the Dean's Men.
Oh, the Dean's Men, yes.
Anyway, I finished LLB. Uh-huh. In 1948, okay, few months after the arrival to New York and then to Boston, we lost control. Our land was occupied, no Jaffa. I didn't know where my parents, my brothers were. I lost my father.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do, had no funds.
Uh-huh.
That was a problem.
Okay.
And my passport expired. No more British, it was British passport. The British left.
Right,
so I was stateless in the real sense.
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
I appealed to some friends I knew there,
mm-hmm,
good Americans. And the Americans are good in these things, you know.
Uh-huh.
Don't mix politics with the humanitarian aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, we'll try to get a special bill for Palestinians who became stateless.
Yeah, okay.
Bill to live, stay in the land until they finish.
Okay.
So we had this.
Okay, so you were able to stay and finish your
yes,
schooling
yes,
in the United States.
But we had no funds. So we had to go to the, and this changed my life actually.
Okay.
I wanted to finish law and go back to Jaffa and practice law and be a lawyer like my daughter now.
Yes, yes, yes.
But now I have no home. I'm homeless. Stateless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went to the United Nations.
Oh, you went to the United Nations?
Not to you improper. I went to our ambassadors in the United Nations.
Yes.
The Syrian, the Lebanese, the Iraqi, the Saudi, the Egyptian, all these.
Uh-huh.
There were seven then only.
Yes.
Seven.
Right, yeah.
I said to them, we too, actually. Am I taking your time? Is this relevant or irrelevant? I don't want to take your time.
But we'll let's finish this because I think is very interesting.
So we formed the Arab Student Organization for the Palestinians.
Okay.
And said to the ambassadors, you have to help them. You are responsible for losing their lands.
Mm-hmm.
You promised you'll listen. Create a state, took the partition resolution, nothing came out of it, you are responsible.
Okay.
Many ambassadors were not, yes, okay, we'll try, we'll send to the capital, formality only, but not showing real interest.
Mm-hmm.
A great man, Faris B. El-Khoury.
El-Khoury.
Khoury, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Syrian.
Mm.
He was an eminent figure in the United Nations. Silver hair,
uh-huh,
very impressive, brilliant jurist,
uh-huh,
and he was really, he had his weight when he speaks.
Uh-huh.
He said, look, boys, I'll try to help you,
mm-hmm,
but give me time.
Okay.
Three of us representing all the students.
Yes, yeah.
They were not happy, the other two said, no, I have commitment to go, we'll go back. Thank you, Mr. Ambassador, and left. Still no, Mr. Ambassador, I'll join you for lunch. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Very gracious of you to invite us. My colleagues are really committed, but mm-hmm, I'll be delighted to. He was happy.
Mm-hmm.
Took me to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are the Empire State Building. This is your
okay,
thank you. Yeah. Had lunch with him.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, head of the delegation gets a car to take him to the headquarters far away. Cadillac would come, fix the ambassador, take him there, on the expense of the UN. Big, huge car came, said, I want you to come with me to the United Nations. I have a speech to make for the Security Council about your homeland. Come and listen to me. I heard a great deal about the UN partition, doing that, and seeing it every day on TV and others.
Yeah.
And they have no good to the UN. I couldn't believe it. I went with him, walked into the UN headquarters, to the Security Council. He asked one of the members of the delegation to leave, give me a seat, to sit. I sat behind Franz B. I looked at the Security Council, the group smoking there. At that time, smoking was permitted.
In the Security Council.
Only when Dag Hammarskjöld came, another story, I'll tell you what happened. Smoking in this corner, waiting for the meeting, not meeting yet.
Yeah.
Smoking here, shouting here. What are the Latin Americans? Speak with your hands.
Yeah.
So are the Arabs sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I looked. It was very scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Then Security Council was convened. All respect. I organized.
Yeah.
Then I said, I give the floor to the ambassador of Syria. Very sweet. He spoke. He said, in his way, he was furious. All of a sudden he said, we told him not to accept first truth. This is a trick, an American trick. For the Jews, no Israelis didn't, the Jews to have their weapons which are on the way. We said to them, this is a trick, don't stop, keep going. But they were misled by the Americans. Look what happened. The war started and they took all the area here and there. Had they continued, I told him, I was very furious. Told him not to.
Yeah.
Okay, then he went there and delivered a speech on this truth.
Yeah.
He said, look.
This was on the, regarding the truce in 1948.
Yes, 1948, the truth, yes.
Yeah, okay.
The first truth, now the second truth.
Right.
He's furious because of the second, because we accepted the first. So, he looked at Ambassador Austin of the United States. He said, Ambassador Austin, you displaced the people. They are now under the sky. No shelter, no. You did this and that. What else remained? Go ahead, bring your atomic bomb. Destroy the people. Then and there, I said, I will not practice law.
Because you saw all of that happening.
I have no home to start with, to work in, practice law.
Yeah.
And also, my problem is here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I want to sit here and defend my own.
At the UN?
I took a decision in the Security Council.
In the Security Council at that time. How old were you then?
I was 1927, so I was now 21 years.
21 years old, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
21 years old.
That was a remarkable experience.
I made the decision, then I started working, I finished my LLB.
Yeah, okay.
And I was lucky, I finished my LLM. I was lucky again, I received a scholarship.
Okay.
From Pennsylvania University.
Pennsylvania University, okay. Mm-hmm.
For Carolina. I received a scholarship from the University of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And of course this requires that I should reside in Pennsylvania in the university campus for one full year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The successor of Faris B, Farid Zainuddin,
mm-hmm.
wanted a research officer and secretary,
mm-hmm.
not very wealthy state, so they are both combined, wanted to do this and that. My friend Salam Dajani, thank you, Salam Dajani,
mm-hmm.
said to this ambassador, he was, now he left the United Nations in 1951 he left.
Okay, this is the Syrian ambassador, the ambassador from Syria?
No, I mean my friend, my colleague,
yeah.
who recommended my name, who suggested my name, left the UN after getting his LLB.
Okay.
And joined the UN.
Oh, I see.
In the
okay.
information division.
Oh, I
so
see.
So this ambassador consulted him, I want a Palestinian, work as a research officer, this is his home and his problem,
mm-hmm.
and the secretary combined in here.
Oh, I see. So then you could go with him to work in the UN?
In the UN, with the President Dean, the successor of Faris B.
Uh-huh.
Successor of Khoury.
Okay.
The new man wanted somebody.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My name was recommended to him.
Okay.
He asked to see me. I said to my friend, why should I see him?
Yeah.
I don't want to lose my scholarship.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And I have to live 1 year there. He cannot wait 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said, but just tell him I want to see him. I was curious.
Okay.
I went, I saw Farid B, mm-hmm. who took the place of Faris B.
Okay.
Farid B said to me, we need you, tuk, after discussing things with me, and apparently I impressed him,
mm-hmm.
apparently. I need you. I want you. It is your home, your country, your problem. So, Mr. Ambassador, I love to work with you. In fact, this is my dream.
Yeah.
But I have a scholarship. I have to live 1 year in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And you are in New York.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kids, no problem. I can fix it. Rules uh-huh. of the university, how can you fix it?
Uh-huh, right.
So please just give me time.
Okay.
He wrote a letter to the president of University of Pennsylvania.
I see, okay.
Said to him, on behalf of the government of the Syrian Arab Republic,
mm-hmm.
I ask you, if possible, to make an exception to a student of Syria.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's supposed to reside in the campus 1 year,
mm-hmm.
make it 2 years. He would spend half the time in the United Nations, half the time at the university.
Oh, excellent.
Put them together 1 year.
Uh-huh, sure. Uh-huh.
But there's no such thing, installment. Yeah, it has to be 1 year.
No.
The board of directors met.
Mm-hmm.
And took a decision, exceptional.
Okay.
I was notified Faris B, then I finished. Then I became a member of the Syrian delegation. Then the president, I mean the head of the delegation, Farid B. Zainuddin,
uh-huh.
said to me, now you know our policy,
uh-huh.
very clear to you. Don't refer to me. Take the position which is in line with our policy.
Yeah.
I have confidence in you. I know you will do the right thing. Unless there is real need, come to me. But if you have to take a stand, sitting in the committee,
yeah.
go ahead.
Uh-huh.
This gave me confidence more, this trust.
Sure.
Okay, started. Then I continued with the Syrian delegation. I got my PhD.
Okay.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Continued until Jordan was admitted to the United Nations as a member, equal member.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They wanted one to be chargé.
Yeah.
No ambassador would be in charge.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Until they appoint an ambassador. And he thought I had good experience. Said, it is your problem, and you are Jordan, Palestine, one unit.
Yes.
Come and join the delegation of Jordan to the United Nations.
Oh, okay.
And you want to now say, okay, because His Majesty is coming, won't you be there? Do you want to receive him and then give me a chance? I was not expecting this offer. Give me time to think it over. Said tomorrow, said, give me 4 days. I want to consult my people, my family, and this and that. I said, okay. 4 days, came back, and then I said, okay. I joined the Syrian delegation to the United Nations. This was in 1958. This is background of...
So at that time you joined the Jordanian?
Yes.
The Jordanian delegation.
And became member, the diplomat, member of the foreign ministry.
Oh, and became a member of the foreign ministry as well?
Yes.
Because that was a part of being in the delegation to the
UN. Because Syria, I was not a diplomat installed in the foreign ministry as member.
Okay.
Enjoying all kind of immunity and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
In the UN, he gave me all this.
When you became a part of the Jordanian
delegation. Yes, yes.
Okay.
And then I started working with the Jordan delegation, first as a counselor, then as a minister, then as ambassador.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I continued for many, many years representing Jordan in the United Nations Security Council, Trusteeship Council, Economic and Social Council, in legal committees, and again, good experience. Of course, with the U.S., I'm always honest with myself and with others. And frank. I believe in open diplomacy.
Right.
Don't believe in hush-hush. So I had many disagreements with the American delegations. Very, very good friends on personal basis.
Yeah.
But inside the Security Council, when there is a meeting, one of these issues, oh, come to the Security Council. To this.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the period of time when you were the permanent representative of Jordan to the UN. I believe that was from 1965 through 1971.
Yes.
And Jordan was a member of the Security Council from 65 in 66.
End of 66.
And through the end of 66. And you served as president of the Security Council during that for that.
Yes.
When it became Jordan's turn and during that 2 year period.
The first few months, the Ambassador Rifai was permanent representative. I was his deputy.
And you were his deputy, okay.
Yeah. So he was the head of the delegation. But after a few months, he was recalled to be foreign minister.
Oh, I see, okay.
So I took over, I became ambassador.
Okay. Yes.
In fact, I left the United Nations in 1962, and was in charge of Palestine in the Foreign Ministry section. And during that period, the Arab League, during the time of President Nasser, this movement of weight of Nasser in every house, in every street, in every place. They wanted, and Nasser championed that, the Arab Unity Council, Economic Unity Council. Economic Unity Council. He wanted, he met, the council met. Council had to have his, number one, his president elected. Was elected president of the Arab League Economic Unity Council.
You were elected the president.
And I was the first one to preside over that.
Okay.
For, of course, 2 years. We started working for this Economic Unity Council. Usually, like all developing countries, sometimes try to be friendly, be okay this and that, but it doesn't always find its way to implementation. So when this started, we had the draft, presented the draft, and they started yes and no, no and yes, and no problem, no, no consensus, no agreement. I said, okay, this is the case, I'll postpone this. I don't want to have it considered. And we were happy. We thought, hey, this will not. Now, this will be dead and buried.
Yeah.
We were scared of economic unity.
Yeah.
Especially those states who are wealthy and those who are not. Okay, put it off for the second session. Second session. I brought the most eminent journalists to listen. Our meetings in the Arab League are secret and closed meetings. You never attended the meeting because it's full of this.
Yeah.
I'm inviting you to attend an open meeting.
Okay.
There will be nothing called closed meeting. How come? They authorized me to use rules of procedure as I like until they draft one.
Okay.
So
okay.
They gave me this privilege. And I want you to be present. I want this building to be made of glass like the UN. So transparent. People, our peoples can see everything inside. They came and sat there. I remember the Kuwaiti head of delegation. I started the meeting as usual, opened the meeting, delivered the speech thanking the host country for their help. He answered me, welcoming the meeting in the capital, Cairo. Then I said, we'll turn now to the agenda.
The agenda.
Article number one, freedom of movement without visa. Quickly, Mr. President, what is it? He said, you forgot to close the meeting. Our friends, the journalists, are here. who told you that I wanted to have it closed meeting? I want this to be made of glass so everyone can see what goes on.
Yeah.
We are acting, we have been acting, and our people believe what we are saying. No, they should see the hands raised forward or against. Uh-huh. I said, oh, I didn't mean to, it's okay. Then started the meeting. I said, freedom, cancelling the visa, no passport, going by card, like America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No this, no that. It's freedom of moving the capital from state to the other. Freedom of all these freedoms. Yes. Wished. This is, I'm very happy, we achieved a great deal, and we think this is something which will serve Arab unity as a whole.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So, then foreign elements, foreign power, and this dynamite is from here.
Mm-hmm.
I think did not take its proper place in inter-Arab relations.
Uh-huh. Okay. Fascinating. Well, I wanted to ask you, you were in the UN as the ambassador of Jordan during the period of time of the 67 war.
And right.
And I wanted to ask you some questions about that. I understand that the Egyptians had received information through the Soviet Union, through the Soviets, that Israel was building up troops along the Syrian border. And the Syrians then notified Nasser that they had gotten this information from the Soviets. Was there any discussion of that at the UN? Was there information coming in regarding?
Well, there was a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, distance very short. You can move troops in 1 hour. I move them back in another hour.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. So it's not like Iraq and Turkey, like Iran and Syria, which takes hours and hours to get there.
Okay.
So the claim was that the troops were there. The other side did not present something to the contrary. The big powers which had the satellites and this and that,
mm-hmm.
did not deny nor affirm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing, I think, now it's very clear now.
Yeah.
At that time, the United States was in, compared to 1956, mind you.
Yeah.
56, I can quote you here. There stand, if you have just time, tomorrow if you want, what the United States said in 1956, and what the United States said and championed in 1967. 1956 said you will not permit this, Eisenhower here, permit this to happen. This is the Charter of the United Nations, international law.
Mm-hmm.
No one can defy this. This means peace. This means justice. Without this, we request immediate withdrawal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This was the United States.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
In 1967, here I have the meetings I had,
mm-hmm.
and my foreign minister had with the various foreign ministers of the United States of America.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In which they said, the complete withdrawal, no permission of weight of conquest. There should be the conqueror should get out. No weight for conquest.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit later, We should have minor adjustments.
Okay, so this is after the Israelis had
1967.
Had attacked.
Yes.
But I was just going through a little bit of the period just before that, where there had been some reports that there were Israelis forming along the border of Syria, but it wasn't clear if that information was correct or not correct. Is that what you were saying earlier?
You compare this with the attack of 1967. Mm-hmm. This gives you a picture of the Israeli line. Uh-huh. In 1967, I think not 1% of our people or third world know this. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know whether you all know that. The one who complained to the Security Council in 1967 was Israel, not Egypt. We are being attacked. And none of the big powers mm-hmm. would come with their evidence. They studied satellite. Mm-hmm. They know exactly what was going on. They had their liberty standing by. Uh-huh. They had everything, but they did not defy or bring their evidence to prove that the one who was preparing for the attack was Israel.
Yeah.
They submitted a complaint. Until 1982, the whole world was saying, Nasser attack, Syria attack, Jordan attack, what they expect. The one called Menachem Begin let the cat out of the bag. Mm-hmm. He came before the student of certain military college, I have the name here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And said, who said that Nasser attacked? I said, did not attack. Mm-hmm. We started the war.
Yeah.
It's begging.
Right. Huh? Okay.
In our second meeting.
Yeah, okay.
Later, in fact, this Raphael, on that day, first day of the meeting in the Security Council, Canada, Denmark, presented a complaint. Mm-hmm. Raphael came as new ambassador.
Okay.
And while discussing this, he said, and I want to remind you of what Adlai Stevenson said after the threat of Cuba. Mm-hmm. He said, shall we wait until the knife come to our throat before we move? Mm-hmm. No one analyzed this. He's telling you, I'm going to fight. Mm-hmm. I'll not wait until I want to fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No one knew this until later, uh-huh. that they were after us.
Yeah.
Then, when the war started, and they complained, we were not the complainants, they were the complainants. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you have war, mm-hmm. rush to the Security Council, request an urgent meeting. He did not. Wanted time. Uh-huh. They said, in their complaint, to the president, we are being attacked, tech is now taking reports, the airfield, this and that, and that's under fire. And we not requesting a meeting. Said, when the Security Council handle this, we have an urgent statement to make. Mm-hmm. Did not ask for immediate meeting.
Okay, so Ambassador Rafael from Israel did not ask for an emergency meeting.
No.
No, he just made a statement.
Should I have a statement to make when you meet?
When you meet, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me go back just a little bit, because at the time, Secretary General was Uthant, who had received a message that Egypt, that Nasser was requesting removal of the peacekeeping forces.
Carolina?
And at that time you were the ambassador of Jordan. Was Jordan aware that there had been a request to remove the peacekeeping troops? Was Jordan aware of the fact that Nasser had requested the removal of the peacekeeping troops at that time in 1967?
In his report, you know, Uthant left on May 23, Uthant left New York to Cairo, flew to Cairo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To remedy the situation.
Right.
To defuse the threat.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And return to the United Nations. So far, this was tension, threat.
Yeah.
He went there on the 23rd. On the 24th, this agreement started. The Americans said, we want to take a decision which will help Yaring, which will help Uthant, saying tut, about the stop, no threats, no this, no that.
Mm-hmm.
Soviet said no. We have to see what the man has and not undermine his role. Let us wait until he comes and brings what he has.
Until he comes back to New York?
Yeah, he came the following day, on the 25th.
He came back to New York from
New York.
Cairo. Yeah.
He went on 23rd, came back 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And he met President Nasser and Mahmoud Riyad.
Yes.
Mahmoud Riyad was the foreign minister. Mm-hmm. Foreign minister.
Mm-hmm.
He met them. He wrote in the report, President Nasser and Foreign Minister Riyad assured me that the United Arab Republic would not initiate offensive action against Israel.
Yeah, okay.
He got this assurance.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to him, listen, take it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Give Nasser a chance. They all were thinking that Nasser will fight this and that. So they neglected this very important thing.
Now, did you, as the ambassador of Jordan, have any consultations with the ambassador from Egypt about this? Were you supportive of the removal of the peacekeeping
troops? We had daily meetings and evening meetings.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we were coordinating together, working together.
Yeah.
Mind you, first 2 days, Jordan did not enter the war. So Syria. But we were together.
Mm-hmm.
We were together.
Yeah. But were you asked or consulted about the removal of the peacekeeping troops? Or was there any open discussion about that at the UN?
Uthant answered this question. He said, he presented his report number 7906 to the Security Council, in which he said, quote, had, listen to this, had she said, had the UNIF, mm-hmm. you know, the United Nations Emergency Force,
right.
had the UNIF been deployed on both sides of the line,
right.
mm-hmm. as originally envisaged, mm-hmm. in pursuance of the assembly resolution, its buffer function would not necessarily have ended. However, its presence on the Israeli side of the line has never been permitted.
That's right.
Yeah. And the question now, why originally, way back, why did they refuse to put the UNIF on their side of the line? Mm-hmm. Isn't that because it will be an obstacle in the way of attacking and invading and acquiring land mm-hmm. by force, mm-hmm. conquest. Mm-hmm. Why? Nasser accepted this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Had Nasser, when Nasser withdrew that thing, still you have your line to protect you.
Yeah.